Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Is that when the American people decide it's time to bring about change, change happens. So take part of the change we've already brought. But I want you to know, Los Angeles, you ain't seen nothing yet. We are going to deal with these issues. We are going to bring about a better America. And you and me, we're going to do it together, arm in arm. We're going to march forward.
You ain't seen nothing yet. Gee, I wonder what's coming. I think this script has already been written. I could pretty much tell you what's coming. It was called Trickle Up Poverty during the campaign, but John McShane wouldn't run with that one, and consequently we have the social worker as president. I wonder what Obama means by you ain't seen nothing yet. Can anyone figure that one out for me? That's a tough one to figure out. It got even more interesting before the screamers in Los Angeles in clip four. Listen to this.
And then a couple of days ago, I nominated this lady. This woman is brilliant. She is qualified. I want her confirmed. I want her walking up those marble steps and starting to provide some justice.
So he wants this lady to walk up those marble steps and start to provide some justice. You mean there is no justice on the Supreme Court yet? That includes the radical leftist Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She doesn't provide justice? You mean the other leftists on the Supreme Court don't provide justice? Only a person of color? Well, excuse me, a leftist of color can provide justice because there is a man of color on the Supreme Court, but apparently he doesn't count to the left wing. His name is Clarence Thomas. The most prominent black man in the United States of America doesn't count. Because as I told you before in the Savage Nation, when a minority loses their left-wing use to the socialists in power, they also lose their ethnic identity. They're no longer of any interest or of value to them. Today's show could actually be conducted all around sound because there's so much sound. It's amazing for a talk show to say, I'm just going to play sound bites today because they get better and better as the day goes on. The best one may not be we're going to march forward and you ain't seen nothing yet, or I want to start providing, I want this lady to walk up those steps. There's a better one coming. There are much better ones coming. And I think I may as well play the one that I've been waiting to play ever since I heard it the other day. As you well know, enemies of the truth, enemies of America, enemies of your freedom and my freedom, have taken statements I have made, cut them up, taken them out of context, sent them to the Home Secretary in the United Kingdom and try to crucify me with them. And yet, just the other day, Obama's spokesmouth, Robert Gibbs, said something that I found to be very interesting. Listen to clip 11.
I just want to know, do you believe that in judging 8 seconds or 6 seconds of what somebody says in a 40-minute clip, you fully understood and taken into account the full context of what she said?
You have to look at
Is
the
that
context,
spin? That if you look at the context and then listen to the words, you, your listeners, and everyone that you talk to will have a greater and fuller appreciation for exactly what she said.
You're right, Robert Gibbs. In the case of Sotomayor, if you listen to the full context, it's even more to the left than what she said. But in my case, I'm more moderate than I've been presented by the enemies of the truth. But Gibbs does have a point there. It's very interesting to me that he would appoint somebody who was so racially divisive as Sotomayor. Nothing wrong with a Latino who believes in the law, particularly that justice is blind. This woman says justice is not blind. She says, I'm going to blind you with my justice. That's right. She said, I'm going to blind you with my brand of justice. She's going to take the, what do you call it, over someone's eyes? I don't even know what you call it anymore. I haven't played Cowboys and Indians. Blindfold. Sotomayor wants to take the blindfold off Lady Justice and charge up those marble steps. We don't need an activist judge on the Supreme Court, do we? That's another big issue. But I'll tell you the truth, at this stage of my life and career, I expect the worst from Obama, and I'm getting it. I expected the worst, and I'm getting even worse. And that's why, for a minute or two, I'd like to reflect on a dog named Freddy with three legs. As you know, I have a dog named Teddy with four legs. He's a little spunky four-pound poodle. I mean, five-year-old poodle, weighs about 10 pounds. And on my walks with him, I have a neighbor who has a dog with three legs named Freddy. So when Teddy meets Freddy, they're both males. They circle each other, but it's kind of an unfair circling because although Freddy has three legs, he's very tough. He doesn't know he only has three legs. And I said to the elderly woman, how did he lose his leg? She said, I don't know. He was a rescue dog. And I think what I heard was he injured it and the people didn't have the money, so they cut the leg off. I said, oh, God. I said, I'll bet that one leg he has in the front is really strong. She said, it must be. He puts it in front of him in the middle like it's a tricycle wheel. And I said, you know, I should tell my audience about Freddy and Teddy today. I don't know what the moral of the story is, and I just thought you should know that there's a little dog named Freddy near me with three legs. I have no idea why I wanted to tell you that story. It was cute. There's no moral. I mean, I can make some kind of moral story out of a three-legged dog that still has the guts to go on and didn't need the dog government to save him. Didn't need dog health care to save him. I mean, what do you want me to do, make a story out of it? The story is unto itself. The dog has three legs, and he does fine. He didn't go to the government for help. Gets around just fine. Hey, talk about health care reform. I have a question for you, since I know many people grift the system and have bankrupted it. I mean, I know people who are poor who go to two and three doctors a day, maybe 20 doctors a month for free because it's free. And they have nothing to do with their lives, so they invent illnesses. They go to doctors because it's all free, and it's called, I think I defined it in a book I wrote in the 80s as medical recreation, or recreational medicine, I called it. Now, America right now is filled with millions of people who are genuinely ill and tens of millions of people who are using the medical system for recreation. They enjoy going to that nice young man, that nice young woman, and who sits and listens to their every quirk and whim and creak and groan, and they get it for free. So let's have some health care reform. What if you charged people $25 for every medical visit? What's wrong with that? Well, you say some people don't have it. So charge them $10 a visit. They have the price of a drink in a bar, don't they? They have the price of a carton of cigarettes, don't they? They buy cigarettes. They buy a drink. Why not charge them $25 a visit? That would immediately cut out the recreational medicine. It would also limit our health care costs and might even pay for the health care that they're grifting right now. Just a thought. 1-800-449-8255. You know the Judge Sotomayor is going to be confirmed. You know that because the patsy Republicans have already rolled over. Are you telling me Orrin Hatch, who gave us Ruth Bader Ginsburg, is going to stand up to her? The three-legged dog, Freddie, is liable to do a better job than Orrin Hatch. Orrin Hatch is politically one breath away from Olin Spector. The only thing about Olin Spector that differs him from most Republicans is that he was honest that he's really a Democrat. And in many ways, Olin Spector was actually a more honest rhino than the rest of them. Hey, could you give me some music? Because I'm past caring. In other words, I heard a long time ago is that if you're going to, you know what, you may as well enjoy it. And since this country is now being raped by the radical, lying, illegitimate left, you may as well enjoy the rape because they're raping you dry. So let's see. Wait, turn off the music. Obama inherits a $1 trillion deficit from George Bush, the socialist, George Jr., the socialist president. And he says, I inherited a mess of $1 trillion deficit, so I'm going to fix it by creating a $3 trillion deficit. And then, wait a minute, I have a way to pay for it. I got to tax those who earn money. Yeah, what else? Run around to another left-wing professor from Brooklyn.
I got it. How about VAT? When we go to Europe, there's a thing called VAT. That's what they do in Israel, okay?
That's Rahm Emanuel's brother, the Israeli socialist, came up with adding VAT to America. It's like the most un-American tax you can imagine. I remember the age of the VAT tax. Americans would buy Volvos here instead of there to avoid VAT. But then again, I told you it was coming, but you didn't listen to me. And of course, it doesn't matter to me. If you want to pay 10% on everything that you buy and everything that you sell, hey, God bless you. And of course, it'll hit the poor hardest. But so what? Isn't that what you need in order to get health care reform? In other words, if you want to pay medical care for illegal aliens who have swamped our hospitals and busted them, if you want to make sure that every illegal alien child in America has health care, which Obama has already done, by the way, every illegal alien child in America now has health care, which is why the state of California is bankrupt. The number one reason that the state of California, which is a microcosm, is broken is because of the high cost of illegal aliens. Yet the governor won't say it. Nobody will say how to solve the problem. I could solve the problem. I could solve the problem in California rapidly. Put a highway patrol officer outside the emergency room of every hospital in the state. And if you don't show residency, I'm sorry, there's no treatment. Now, of course, you say, well, what if they show up with a bullet wound? What if they show up having fallen off a scaffold? Well, I suppose that for humanitarian reasons, you have to treat the trauma injuries. But you don't have to treat every child with a running nose with $2,000 worth of doctoring, do you? That's what goes on now. See, I know from reality, unlike Sotomayor, who talks about real life experience now, see, she had real life experience when she was a kid. I actually was in the emergency room 3 times last year. I have real life experience now. Every time I was there, next to me was an illegal alien child with 18 relatives with a runny nose. Who paid for it? You and I did. Should you pay for it? No, you should not. Why should you not pay for it? Because we can't afford it. I'll be right back. Savage.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
You ain't seen nothing yet. Wow. What an ambitious man. That's because no one's ever said no to Obama. He was the anointed one. No one's ever said no to Obama, so why should America say no to Obama? He's doing such a splendid job. He's borrowing 50 cents for every dollar he spends, and he intends to tax you for the other 50 cents. You know, I'm going to tell you something funny. I know a wealthy man who's self-made. He made every penny himself, honestly. Every dime, honestly. And he gives money away, does a good job. And now he's trying to give money. He said it's more difficult to find verifiable charities than you can imagine. Because many charities are fake. They're set up that the people use the money for themselves. It doesn't really go to the needy. But he said the most amazing thing is that he tried to give it to some very religious Jewish group. And they had the nerve to say to him, there's a holiday, they can't meet him, meet me after the holiday. And he said, wait a minute, I'm offering you the money. What are you telling me about some holiday, some obscure holiday? He said, I have to disperse the funds by a certain day. Well, we have to do it. He said, well, wait a minute, I'm offering you a lot of money. And they actually told him when he should meet them. And then likewise with other groups. He said, he can't believe how dense some people are with regard to receiving funds. They don't work for a living, after all. They live on alms. And yet, he said, many people who receive alms are arrogant. That's what he's discovered. And he said, I want to tell you something. He said, if you wanted to know how many behinds I've had a kiss in my life to get where I am, they go around the world twice. Very wealthy man. He understands that humility is how he got where he is. Genius, humility, drive. In other words, but he had to kiss behinds to get where he is. And yet he said today, people not only won't forget about doing what I just said, they won't even meet you on your own schedule to receive funds that you're offering them. They want you to come to them. He said, that's what's going on today. I said, well, I'm not in that position. 1-800-4- What's this with the reporter they dragged away, the black reporter? Did you hear about that in Obama? That won't make it to your newspaper. Reporter drag kicking, screaming from near Air Force One. Oh, and by the way, she's an African-American lady. But, hold it now, she wanted to give Obama a letter which said that she supports traditional marriage. So the SS took her away. She was dragged away by the SS. Because she can't get near the Anointed One. Even though she also understands nuance, and she also understands heartache, and even though apparently she also understands pain, it's not the right kind of pain. Don't you understand it? Only left-wingers can have empathy. A conservative has no empathy by definition. It doesn't matter if they're African-American or Latino. If they have experiences that have marred them in some way, they deserved it because they were not sufficiently socialist. Reporter drag, kicking, screaming from near Air Force One by the SS. That's because she was trying to give the Anointed One a letter supporting, asking him to support traditional marriage. Maybe that's what he means by you ain't seen nothing yet. I don't know. Now, this whole thing on Sotomayor, I have an interesting take on this that you may not believe I'm going to say, but I'm kind of different than you may imagine, and you can't predict where I'm going to go. Yes, she is a radical leftist. Yes, there are racial overtones in her statement that she sees things perhaps more clearly than white males. Very, very disturbing. But do you know that she's probably a moderate compared to the others he could have picked? Has anyone said that yet? Have you seen the rest of the field? Have you taken a look and listened to the others on the so-called shortlist? No, you haven't. Sotomayor almost looks like a conservative compared to the rest that he was given by the ACLU. I'm not saying that she's anything but a radical leftist. She is. I don't know how far left she is. I would assume it's about as left as you can get, but no. Oh, no, there are others who consider her to be conservative, incidentally. She has several strikes against her. One is that she has a child. Now, that definitely is questionable to the radical left. A child that was born through viviparous reproduction to this generation of leftists is somewhat suspect. After all, I mean, that unto itself shows that she may have some family values. And, you know, you got to watch out for those people with family values. You never know which way the wind's going to blow with them.
Savage.
Things are bad all over. What can I tell you? They're horrible. They're horrible. This guy is taking a wrecking ball to the nation and getting away with it because there's no two-party system. What do you want me to do about it? Look at the trouble I'm in because I speak out and stand up. I don't blame you for being a mouse. I don't blame you for saying nothing. You're afraid to even say in the privacy of your own home what you really believe. I understand that. But there it is. Pelosi flees to China when she gets caught lying about her lie about the CIA. Turns out she heard it about 50 times about waterboarding. So her answer is to run to China and talk not about human rights, but about global warming. And then she's in China and she says every aspect of our lives must be subjected to inventory. That's Pelosi now. This is becoming more of a nightmare by the day. So we can talk. We're going to have a minute. I'm going to have some fun in a minute. I have a wonderful piece from Jackie Mason, America's preeminent. I don't know. I don't want to use the comedian. I don't like the word comedian. To me, Obama's a comedian. Jackie Mason is more like a soothsayer with comedy. And he has a piece on WorldNet Daily every week he does. What's it called? What do they call it? The Ultimate Jew. Very funny. We're going to play that in a few minutes, but I want to take some calls on the topics I've already talked about. Could you play part of it here for me? I don't know. This is getting me bored, all of this talk about politics. Who needs politics? Leave it in the hands of the experts like Obama. He has a lifetime of experience as a politician, and he has nuance. The important thing is he has nuance. To life, to life, to life. That is the motto of the Savage Nation. Para vivir. Let's see, in Cuba, they're stuck with 50s cars since the bearded one took over Cuba. And they can't import cars, so they're driving 50s American cars. And since Obama took office and he's killed two automobile companies, does this mean that we're going to be stuck with these cars now for the next 50 years? We're going to be fixing, like, 2005 Toyotas and Fords for the rest of our lives? This is crazy. You people don't even see what's going on. The guy's a naked Marxist. Not even neo-Marxist. The guy's an overt Marxist. Everything he does is right out of the Marxist playbook. Is this an inconvenient truth? You want to talk about Freddie? How come you don't like my idea of taking the people who are using the medical system as a hobby, which I've defined? I remember the book. In 1983, I wrote a book called The Skeptical Nutritionist, where I said much of American medicine is recreational medicine. 1983, I saw what was going on. If you give somebody something for nothing and they're retired or they don't work and no one listens to them because they're cranks, and they can go to a young man or a young woman with a medical degree in a nice office who sits and listens to them, even for 15 minutes, they're going to go as often as possible since it's free. Charge him 25 a visit, 10 a visit. Bingo, you pay for medical care. Suzanne, New York, WOR, go on. What's on your mind? You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I work in a medical clinic collecting bills from patients, and I just want to tell you that it does not matter if you would charge $25 or $10. These people will not pay their co-pays.
Whoa. Oh, you mean the original? Even with health care plans that have co-payment, they stiff you?
They do. We charge $3 for state medical assistance.
$3 and they won't pay it?
They will not pay it. And we end up having to write that amount off because it costs us.
Wait. Let me see if I understand this. A $3 copay they won't pay?
That's exactly it. They do not want to pay. You try to collect it at the time of service.
So you take it out of their Social Security.
I'm sorry?
Now that's what I call government health care. Make the government pay for it that way. If they stiff you, take it out of the Social Security check. Then you get paid. Submit the bill. In other words, if a doctor's providing a service and they won't pay for it, take it out of their Social Security check.
I think that would sound really
See,
nice.
I have solutions. I'm an intelligent man. I've lived in the real world, unlike Obama, who's been a college professor and a social worker and a speech giver. Charge them and take it out of the Social Security. I didn't say deny them medical care. Make them co-pay. How do they get away with not paying?
Everybody makes it so easy because...
Oh, okay. They make it so easy. Let me ask you something. If I go to a restaurant and I give them a credit card and that credit card bounces, do you think they're going to give me a meal the next time I go in unless I pay the last bill?
No, probably not.
So why is the medical clinic not allowed to say, you know what, you're a deadbeat, don't come back here. Go down the street to Joe's Medical Clinic.
Because they're a state-funded program and we're not allowed.
That's right. And the fascist state forces you to provide medical care to the grifter.
Exactly. They get the...
By the way, what type of person generally stiffs you? Is there a type? Never mind ethnicity. Type I'm talking about.
There is. I can totally profile the kind of person that's going to stiff us.
Goody. Oh, you're a winner here. Let me hear it.
I can tell by looking at their chart. I take out my ruler, and they're usually about 2 to 3 inches thick. They usually come in for some accident. Government-funded people are always having accidents. They call up...
Oh, it's Medicare fraud.
I don't know exactly.
In other words, they get a shady chiropractor who says they injured their back. They go to him 16 times. Then they go to a shyster doctor, a shyster pharmacist, and a shyster lawyer. Is that that system? And they're all from Minsk?
yeah. If I understand you right, you had said that.
Yeah, okay, well, that's as far as... Oh, yeah. I'm actually starting to enjoy the show again because I don't care. I've decided since you've decided to let your country be raped by the radical left, why should I care? See, here's why I came to this conclusion. We have a multi-trillion dollar military that can't fire a weapon. What is the point of having submarines that won't fire a weapon? What is the point of having 16 warships with the most advanced Aegis missile shoot-down system in the world if the admiral doesn't have the cojones to fire the bullet. So I figured if we have a military that's powerful, that is that powerful, and they can't fire a shot, what do I care? Now you go to Israel. Every day, Israel's about to die. The minute Iran's going to get the weapon, they got the weapon. If they get it, we're dead. They're supposed to get it 2 years ago. They got it a month ago. And they don't do it, we're going to hit them. And they hit them, we can't hit them. And then Panetta came and said, don't strike, die better, because the only good Jew is a dead Jew. Then we'll love you. Then we'll send memorials to you. That's the way, the American way now. Let Iran hit you with a nuclear weapon, then we'll all grieve for you. We'll build a memorial in Los Angeles, and we'll cry, but under no circumstance can you as Jews defend yourself, because the only good Jew is a dead Jew to the world, and you should not upset the world order by standing up for yourself. It's an affront to the Arab that you should even live. And speaking of that, since I gave you the inflection, here's Jackie Mason.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? I want to ask you a question. This is a blog devoted to the question of truth. Now, everybody assumes that everybody is partisan about politics. I was never partisan about political issues. I'm here just to tell the truth. Now, I'm sure there's a lot of Democrats who can't believe I'm just searching for the truth. But are you searching for the truth? Do you care about truth? If you care about truth, are you offended by what the Democrats are doing right now? The Democrats have all decided that every Republican who's involved in torture or allowing torture, anybody who wrote a legal opinion that accepted torture, anybody on any level who allowed any of the waterboarding or anything that was done to these detainees in Guantanamo Bay should immediately be investigated. They should be immediately tried. They should be put in jail. They should be destroyed. And the Barack Obama was saying we have to consider exactly how we're going to wipe out these people, what kind of punishments they deserve for allowing it to be possible to happen. Now investigating continued, and everybody was being investigated, and just their luck, something happened that they never expected. All of a sudden, investigations proved that it's the Democrats who were briefed every single day about every one of these procedures. 59 times, 49 times, they were briefed and briefed over and over again. And Pelosi is now dancing around like a thief who's head can't get on straight. Her head is swimming. All of her tortured looks are falling apart. Every part of one of her creases that she erased 20 times ago are coming back to her. Her nose is going into directions you never saw before. Her mouth is squandering. Her face is sweating. She's falling apart. You see how nauseous she looks and how miserable and furious and how every kind of expression in the world that you've seen on 300 people in a month is now in her face in a second. The face is falling apart. The torture is all over her face. Whatever talk about torturing other people, she's the one who's being tortured more than any torturer could have been tortured. If we tortured anybody in Guantanamo Bay the way she's torturing now and the way she's suffering and sweating and struggling, she looks like a deranged pig in heat who doesn't know which way to turn, where her temperature's flying out of control to such an extent that she can't see straight. She looks like she's going to pass away from misery. She can't even finish her sentence without looking like she's drained and destroyed just from the questions. Now, this is torture. Why? Because she's a lowlife and a fraud and a liar, and she knows it, and she was caught. And I want to ask you a question. How come not one Democrat is suggesting that maybe she should be tried? The Republicans were supposed to be tried. They were supposed to be put in jail. Anybody even heard about it, if he was a Republican, was supposed to have been destroyed. How come nobody says one word about investigating her or investigating all the other people who were briefed just like her, who were told about every one of these procedures? Where's the suggestion that they should be tried? How come they don't care about it? How come they're blatant hypocrites and don't even care and don't even think of it? Because if you have no conscience and you're no good at all, you can accept hypocrisy as a way of life and advance it and forget you even did it. This is the ultimate hypocrisy of the world. The torturous Democrats should be tortured. They should be tortured, and they deserve to be tortured, because anybody wants innocent people to be tortured and sent to jails for whatever they did, and when they can't accept the responsibility themselves, are low-life, filthy, fraudulent, disgusting bastards. And that's the only thing you could call them. If you disagree with me, let me know, because you're probably just as low as them if you could disagree with this.
Savage. That's Jackie Mason from WorldNetDaily.com. I really look forward to it every week. It's comic relief because it's real relief. He's a truth-sayer. Jackie, if you're listening to the show already, it's time to pick up the phone. 1-800-449-8255. Stop already. I ran into you at your show in Las Vegas, and you never took my call since. I don't know what happened. What, I asked for a free ticket, and your wife got mad at me? For that reason, you won't talk to me when I give you such exposure? I'll be right back.
Savage.
The economy's in the toilet. Economists are saying we could have inflation like in Zimbabwe if Obama keeps on his mad course. You know who he reminds me of is the Mad King Ludwig of Bavaria, who I talked about once or twice during Bush's reign. King Ludwig of Bavaria, an obscure historic character. I once wrote a biography of him, a small one, for Esquire magazine that was never published. I became fascinated by King Ludwig when I was 19 or 18 because... grandiosity is commonplace amongst adolescents. Witness the sufferings of young Werther by Goethe. And Obama is in very many ways an adolescent, emotionally an adolescent. I don't believe this man has actually grown up. I know he's the president. He flies in Air Force One and all of that. But many of his statements and his actions are that of an adolescent, not grounded in reality, you know. And he says, you ain't seen nothing yet. Where's the money coming from, Mr. President? Doesn't matter. Now, you look at what other dictators do, is that they steal from the productive members of society to give to the people on the bottom. Take his friend Chavez, Sean Penn's good friend, the dictator of Venezuela. He is a guy who closed down opposition media, and yet he has a talk show of his own on every Sunday. It's interesting that the radical left loves the media when they can use it and hates the media when it's critical of them. That's called dictatorship, by the way. And that's what's going on in this country. And yet I saw a crack in the armor that started to appear, a hope, a brief hope the other day, when a reporter named Major Garrett challenged the spokesmouth, Robert Gibbs, over judging Sonia Sotomayor on a short soundbite or sentence. Listen to clip 8.
Are you saying that there is no racial dimension and there should be no racial dimension interpreted or drawn from Judge Sotomayor's comments made in 2001 at Berkeley after she was confirmed both times by the Senate? So the Senate never had a chance to evaluate that, just point that out. And there is no racial dimension. Americans who look at that should think what? If they think that there might be a racial dimension.
One, I think Americans should read all of
it. I don't want to hear what the spokesmouth says. Turn Gibbs off. He's not going to be in that job very long. I suspect that Obama will soon put a person of color in the job because Gibbs has shown that he's incapable of fielding questions. You need somebody with nuance and somebody who has texture and depth, not Gibbs. You could see Gibbs came from a puffy white background, and he certainly doesn't belong in the Obama administration. I mean, he served his purpose in the first 90 days or so, you know, put on a face, a happy face. But Gibbs will soon go back to Arkansas Junior College, where he came from, and be teaching media. That's where they all go somehow. And but Major Garrett did a good job. He actually challenged the spokesmouth on the racist comments of Sotomayor, you know. So what do you say about it? But compared to the others on the short list, I said she's rather conservative when you think of it. You should see someone, oh my God. I don't know their names. I saw a couple of them talk on C-SPAN over the weekend. One of them was a beast of a woman. I don't want to know her name. I don't want to know a name. A monster. A monster. I just can't imagine if that one wound up on the Supreme Court. So you got to thank your lucky stars. You know what I'm saying? Sure, she's a leftist. What'd you expect them to put a conservative in? You know, everyone's so excited. Oh, he picked a left winger to replace a left winger. My God. Souter's retiring a radical leftist and he's replacing him with a centrist. So he picks another radical leftist, you know, in the mold of, I can't even pick a mold. There's no direct mold that she came from. Maybe Ruth Bader Ginsburg from the ACLU would be in the mold. She's a little more radical than her, but they're all about the same. But compared to some of the others on the short list, which included Janet Napolitano, you got to thank you count your blessings. Could have been worse. He could have picked a baker from Berkeley, who he liked the cakes that she made. And he said, you know what? Since this is a Maoist revolution, you're now on the Supreme Court. Why not? After all, she has to, you know, whatever, nuance. Could have picked a baker from Berkeley. At least this one knows what it is to be a judge, a left-wing judge at that. But what do you expect? It's only one vote. You're all in a panic. It's only one vote. It's another liberal vote. She's not going to vote to the right or in the middle. So what's the difference which one he picks? It's all a matter of style. So she's in love with herself. And what, and Ruth Bader Ginsburg isn't a big mouth we heard for 10 years, 15 years now, that she chews everyone's ear off and yaks and yaks and yaks at them with that horsey, pseudo-New York sophisticated voice of hers telling everybody they're stupid white males? Except Clarence Thomas, who she probably doesn't even talk to. So I don't mean, you know, you're shocked and upset. What do you expect them to put in there? Felix Frankfurter? Benjamin Cardozo? I expected a trial lawyer, left-winger, anti-gun type, anti-American. You know, down with the flag. What do you want from me? What do you want from me? It's one man's opinion. You want to crucify me? I'm not going to die for your sins anymore. You got the government you deserve. You were busy playing ball. You were busy barbecuing. You were busy doing what you do. So now you have Obama with a radical Cuban-like agenda going on. What do you want from me? So there it is. What would you like to talk about? There's someone who agrees with me. Houston, Texas. Daniel, welcome to the Savage Nation. Sorry, I got something in my throat.
Dr. Savage, you are so much smarter than the rest of the radio talk show hosts. It's unbelievable. When I first heard of this woman's confirmation, I was absolutely just enraged. And then I actually did a little research on her and came upon three interesting telling facts about this woman. One, she's easily convinced to change her opinions so she can be bullied around by other judges. Two, like you said, she has a...
I will leave out, you know. But she's actually not as radical
Savage
as some.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
That there will be an opportunity for North Korea to come back into a framework of discussion within the six-party process, and that we can begin once again to see results from working with the North Koreans toward denuclearization that will benefit, we believe, the people of North Korea, the region, and the world.
And Madeleine Albright.
You taught me during the campaign. Is that when the American people decide it's time to bring about change, change happens. So take part of the change we've already brought. But I want you to know, Los Angeles, you ain't seen nothing yet. We are going to deal with these issues. We are going to bring about a better America. And you and me, we're going to do it together, arm in arm. We're going to march forward.
March where, though? That's the thing with progressives. They're always marching somewhere. Do they know where they're going? I don't know if they actually know where they're going, but they like to march arm in arm. That reminds me of a story about a North Pole explorer who reported in his journal that he was moving towards the North Pole at approximately 5 miles per day. That's what he recorded in his diary. Turned out, though, he was on an ice floe that had broken off the shelf that was moving south at 7 miles a day. So although he thought he was moving forward at 5 miles a day, he was actually moving backwards at 2 miles a day. That's Obama. He's on a Marxist ice floe going backwards, and he thinks he's going forwards. But that's over your head. I understand. It's not something you'd hear on Jay Leno. That's not something you'd hear at a from a salesman. You know, that's what I got to watch out. That's why the show's becoming harder for me instead of easier. Because everything I got to boil down into something stupider by the minute, in the sense that Murdoch destroyed your mind. Because Moloch mixed up lipstick and skirts with hard news. You don't know what's going on anymore. Because Moloch was allowed to buy so many newspapers, magazines, publishers, and Lilliputians. You have no idea what you're doing anymore. He goes from lipstick and skirts to North Korea and back again, so you don't know what happened. He goes from idols to fallen idols. Moloch did it. Moloch did it. It was Moloch who did it to you. 1-800, could you play Mama Said There'd Be Days? No, no music. Stupid. I can't stand Gibbs anymore. It's starting to get to me. The laughter. I don't like reporters laughing. There's another one on Fox who laughs too much with interviews. Neil Cavuto. What's with the laughter? Stupid jokes about pastry. You know, I know he's a lightweight, but you don't have to show it, Neil. Don't, you know, whenever they, you know how you could tell a lightweight? When they try to get on the natch with a joke, with a guest, that's a giveaway. You could see when the level of the joke is about a cupcake, you know already that they're a cupcake. What's this Gibbs with the laughter with the schmucks in the media? What are they laughing at? The world's coming apart at the wheels. The wheels fell off the world under Obama. North Korea just ripped up the armistice agreement from 1953, and this putz is laughing with everybody in the media. And every minute, another missing child. That's the next story. Every minute, a missing child. That's the psycho. What's her name? Nancy Grace, the psychopath, the lunatic. You look at the eyes of that woman, in my opinion. If you study medical textbooks from the period of 1890 to 1910, of the eyes of people in nut houses, bingo. I don't understand how you don't see this. How could anybody, every night of their life, do this without being deranged? Another missing child, it's an obsession. How could you not see this? It's a mental derangement. Who would watch this every night but crazy people? And so this boils, pulls the news down and down and down and down. Then you have Moloch mixing up skirts and lipsticks, laugh tracks, idol movies he's running, and who's in the movie every 3 minutes, one of the other companies he owns, which publisher he owns, won't publish anybody but people who are on his shows. It's absolute a violation of antitrust activity. Total violation of antitrust laws to own a television station, a movie company, a publisher, and not permit competition. Violation of antitrust. But go ahead. Go try and prove it. Go try and prove it. And then tell yourself you got a conservative outlet. Yeah. Okay, sure. It's a real conservative outlet. Just like there's a difference between Bush and Obama. Howard in New York, WOR, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Moloch, by the way, got all that, the goodies, with the approval of Teddy Kennedy, who's a left-winger, and this guy's supposed to be a conservative. So, again...
That's right. Moloch is a businessman, and a good one at that. And he knew which way the wind was blowing when he created Fox News. And then about 4 years ago, he saw that a Democrat... It was time for them to take power because we had 8 years of a phony Republican. So he started supporting Hillary. Remember that?
Yes. And, you know, Saltemeyer's nomination only proves what you're right, validates your opinions all along, that there's very little difference between the Bushes and the Obamas, because Saltemeyer was appointed to the bench for the first time by George...
By Bush. Bush won.
Right.
That's right. That's right. And wait, and who put Souter on the bench? Bush won.
Exactly. There's not a...
That's right. So what's the difference? Who's the president right now?
Good cop, bad cop, divide and conquer. It's all one party that pretends that they're different parties.
Oh, don't say that, Howard. The FBI's liable to investigate you.
That's the way it is, and that's the way it looks like.
It's horrible, isn't it? But when I started in radio in 94, I called them Democrats or Republicrats. As I said, it's a one-party system run by the oligarchs. I saw it from the minute I started. Look where I wound up, banned in England.
Yeah, well, again, that's another joke, and that's something, again, that's being started for a different reason than just your involvement over there. It goes way beyond it. But
yes, I agree. I am the martyr for the rest of the free speech advocates in the world. That is correct. I was chosen, but I'm not going to be the last. Cupcakes like Neil Cavuto don't know that.
Usual a pleasure talking to you, Michael.
Thank you very much. I got a migraine. the thought of it. I have to see the ophthalmologist tomorrow. I tell you, it's getting bad. I know what it is. It's the computer. I'm going to turn it off right now. When I started in radio, there were no computers. I didn't use them. Whack jobs used computers in the early 90s. Idiots. Nerds. Morons who couldn't do it. Asocial had computers in the early 90s. Who had a computer then? If I wanted to do a radio show in the early 90s, remember, I started as a writer. I'd come with books, newspapers, magazines, ideas, and I did a show. Then the computer age, we had a thing called wires. There was no need for newsrooms even then in the radio stations, I remember. I worked at a station that had like 20 idiots who ran around, did nothing. They were nice people, don't get me wrong. But it was like a welfare department for the general manager. Everyone had a job. They were running. They looked like Billy Batson, reporter. Rush out, cover the funeral, make sure you get a cake. Every other day they had another dinner for another aggrieved group that came in. Bagels and lox. Why do they always like bagels and lox, the aggrieved groups? I never understand that. Every time they came in, there was always like some anger over something somebody did or said in the news department or on talk radio. And the way to settle it was always a huge plate of bagels and lox, coffee, cream cheese. They left with a grant and everybody was happy. But the newsroom, there was no need for it. Once the computer came with websites, what did you need a news department for? AP needs a news department. They're the ones who actually go out and dig up the news. Yes, it's slanted to the Venezuelan left. I understand that. But at least it's news. So you can read between the lines. But a radio station doesn't need a news department. I know one network. The stock was $14 last year. It's a penny this year. They still have news departments. Why? I don't know. I have no idea. Rules don't apply in certain ways. They only apply. So you want to talk about North Korea, that nothing's being done? I'm sure they don't believe this, that they're getting away with this. I'm positive. He can't believe it. He was sure at least somebody would have said something. Nothing. Not a 22 was fired. Admiral Mullen, the press agent, came out, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and he said, we're going to look into this. We're going to take it to the UN with a nine-party, six-party. What is it with the six-party, nine-party, four-party, and they achieve nothing? It reminds me again of, what's her name? Madeleine Albright is the reason North Korea is out of control and acting up. Remember she went over there and koshered him, Kim Jong-il? She thought she was at a big bar mitzvah. He had 30,000 North Korean slaves dancing with the name, like they spelled her name out in slaves, dancing with long silk scarves. She ate the most expensive things in the world. They were starving to death. They were eating hay. The people in North Korea were eating hay and licking mud. She had a banquet that was better than the Four Seasons. She came back glowing. You think you went to an affair at the Four Seasons? I was in an affair, had 30,000 slaves dancing with my name spelled out. He's not such a bad guy. He's misunderstood. Don't judge Kim Jong-il by his sound bites. Don't judge Kim Jong-il by the million people who have allegedly been starved to death. They deserved it because they didn't like him. Came back glowing, Madeleine Albright, Secretary of State. So now you have him. He's out of control. I'll be right back. Savage.
Electric grid, saving teachers, making sure that folks who lose their jobs still have health care. Something called the Lilly Ledbetter Act. We removed the ban on funding stem cell research. What else did we do? The whole series of measures to stabilize the housing market. We passed, I'm getting to that, relax. Yeah. Crackdown on predatory abuses on credit cards so you guys aren't paying those extra fees. We expanded the children's health insurance program so that 11 million children who didn't have health insurance now have it, including the children of undocumented workers. That was all just in the first couple of months.
Isn't that great? See what he's done in only a few months? Health care for illegal alien children. That's good. That's why they like him in L.A. Yay, yay, yay. We hung all of the talk show hosts. Yay! Closed down all opposition TV stations. Yay! All right, what are you going to do? Do you have that sound from The Godfather where Batista, the character actor, says they go for the New Year's Eve party with Michael Corleone? You remember that one? The sound is eerily like Obama in Los Angeles. That same echo, I swear to you. No, you don't have it? Whatever. I come up with these things. I can't expect you to have them the minute I think of them. You know, you don't live inside my head. New York City, WOR. Pat, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Michael, how you doing? Hey, a couple weeks ago you said that our, how it goes for you, it goes for us. Well, I'm out here to tell you I totally agree with that, because that's why we love you out here, because we know how it goes for you.
Well, look, I don't want to overplay it, but I don't want to underplay it. If you allow me to be hung by the British, hung out to dry by my own government, you're next. If you're going to be outspoken even on the local workplace, you're going to be attacked by your government if you let them get away with this. That's my opinion. I'm a test case, unfortunately. They chose me. The reason they didn't pick Limbaugh or Hannity is because they're no threat to the social order. You know that, and I know that. They are the social order. They just pose as wild, crazy guys with checked pants from Warsaw. You know that.
We know it out here.
All right, that's
tell.
All. What am I going to get a? You think I'm going to get a badge for this? See, that's what I've come to. Everyone, you know, they love you. They love you. What does it mean they love you? Yeah, Mike, sure. Hang from the yard on. We love you, Mike. We're with you, Billy. Billy, don't worry. We'll see you on the other side, Billy. We don't want the captain to do it to you, Billy, but we can't do anything, Billy. Don't worry, Billy. We're with you. We got your back, Billy. Don't worry, Billy. Well, so thank God I have a legal fund, defense fund, rather. Got good lawyers in England, and we're waiting to hear. You know, we've given them an option. We know that she was fed false sound bites. You heard the Robert Gibbs piece, didn't you? Play the Robert Gibbs piece now, in case you didn't hear it on the Savage Nation.
I just want to know, do you believe that in judging 8 seconds or 6 seconds of what somebody says in a 40-minute clip, you fully understood and taken into account the full context of what she said?
Thank you. See, Robert Gibbs made a good point. In her case, the answer is yes, because what she said in the 40-minute clip is even worse. And it turned out that she's a member of La Raza, and she's even more radical than what she said about Latinas opposed to white males. But in my case, the sound bites do not denote what I was saying. They were taken out of context by the enemies of truth. I think I know who did it. And we have yet to disclose that on the show, but when it's all over, we will. I think we found out who did this, who cut the tapes up, who edited these and sent them to England. And so the Home Secretary of England, Jackie Smith, has an opportunity now to bow out gracefully from this and say we were given sound clips. We didn't know there was a context. We're going to take Mr. Savage's name off, and we apologize. That'll be the end of it. Whether she has the intelligence to do that, time will tell. There's also the hope that if she doesn't, we sue and we win in court. And then there's the hope that when she's swept out of office with the other Labour socialist government and the Conservatives come in England, they will do the right thing. Or I may appeal to the Queen herself, since she was just slapped in the face by Obama and Sarkozy, not having been invited to the D-Day celebrations. Can you imagine this? Queen Elizabeth, who was alive during World War II and was a volunteer truck driver, was not invited to the upcoming D-Day ceremonies because Sarkozy, the media maniac, didn't want to be upstaged by the Queen. And Obama, as you well know, is another one who didn't want to be upstaged by anybody. So this is an amazing thing, what's going on in this world. How these amateur, adolescent, grandstanding vaudevillians who are calling themselves presidents have the audacity to walk around on the stage as though they actually know what they're doing. Here, the man has been tested twice now on a major level. Iran says we're going ahead with enrichment, more centrifuges, and take this and spin on it. Nothing. Obama does nothing. Gets away with it. North Korea rips up the armistice agreement from 1953. After all, there was a war. There are still men walking around with shrapnel in their bodies from that war. And Obama does nothing except go to L.A. and cheer himself on. Nothing. 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 He's failed. He's been tested. He's failed. They're testing him every day. And the people don't know what's going on. They're brainwashed. The average American is brainwashed. They don't know what's going on. So what can I tell you? You got what you deserve. You got the exact government that you deserve. But if you think he started it, you're wrong. He's only going to finish it. He's going to finish what Clinton started. Clinton, Bush, Obama. That's it. You look back at the history of Rome. There were a whole series of emperors, some good, some bad. And then it all ended.
Savage.
Savage.
taught me during the campaign is that when the American people decide it's time to bring about change, change happens. So take part of the change we've already brought. But I want you to know, Los Angeles, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Debido a serios reveses de nuestras tropas en Guantánamo y Santiago, mi permanencia en Cuba es insostenible.
And then, a couple of days ago, I nominated this lady. This woman is brilliant. She is qualified. I want her confirmed. I want her walking up those marble steps and starting to provide some justice.
Renuncio para evitar más derramamiento de sangre y salgo de la ciudad inmediatamente. Me despido a nombre de mi familia y en
el mundo
deseándoles a todos muy buena suerte.
They get the picture. If they got the brains to follow it, they understand the whole. You could do so many things with sound if you have a good memory. That's the fun of it. This is great. Hey, I am enjoying the last dregs of freedom in the United States of America. You don't even understand that you're listening to the last dregs of free speech in this country. Enjoy it. Drink it up, my friends. Savor every moment of Michael Savage and all the others in radio. Enjoy it, because you ain't seen nothing yet. Oh, no. No, soon it'll be radio-free Obama. Like radio-free Chavez. Can you imagine that? They'll give Sean Penn a radio show, Danny Glover a radio show. Baldwin will have a radio show. Anyone who salutes the emperor, the chairman, excuse me, gets a radio show for 2 or 3 minutes a day in between visiting the pharmacy for their various. You know what movie? I didn't tell you what I did over the Labor Day, the week of Labor Day. I don't know the holiday anymore. Memorial Day, sorry. I was, wasn't I off Friday? Just off Friday, then Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I had a 4-day breather. It was incredible. People say, oh, you can't live without radio. Oh, yes, I can. I learned I could live with doing nothing. Nothing is good. It's good to do nothing because the vacuum must be filled. So I went and got a 3-part series on Napoleon. See, everyone knows about Napoleon's military ventures. You know, how he was defeated in Russia. He overplayed his hand, went to Moscow, got caught in the snow. The Borodino battle, how he lost there. Everyone knows about that and the exile. But, you know, there's a part of Napoleon's history I'm fascinated by, which we're not on these DVDs, which is how Napoleon rose from an obscure nothing to become general so rapidly in the military. It's like a little guy from Corsica. I don't know that biography. I'm looking for that biography. I can't find it. If you know of the right one, let me know. That's number one. I watched some video. Then I watched an interesting movie that I bought called King of Comedy with Robert De Niro and Jerry Lewis. I saw it years ago, then I saw it once again on TV, then you couldn't find it, and I watched it again. It was pretty interesting. Jerry Lewis, as typically, is a great actor. Many, many talented people are multidimensional. Like Frank Sinatra was a well-understated actor. The guy was a fabulous actor. He played himself in every role he was in, he was good at. I thought he was terrible. I enjoyed him, let's put it to you that way. I'm not going to argue about the relative merits or dismerits of his acting. But in that, he was a, what do you call that, Stella Adler School of Acting, where you play yourself, whatever. They're all into that. Huh? Method acting. That's when you can't act, you do a method acting. When you don't know how to act at all and you don't know accents, what you do is you play yourself in every role and they say it's wonderful. And then that's called method acting. Real acting that does hardly exist in America. Britain used to have a great tradition. I mean, you could see people training in the Shakespearean theater. That's acting. Here, there's no such thing as real acting. Some, you know, the worst are the women who they try to put on a southern accent. Y'all, you know, y'all. You ever hear the girls from New York try to pretend they're doing a southern accent? They always play like white trash in a trailer because they put on green, like green lipstick and ugly nail polish. And they're like a gingham skirt. And then they do, y'all, and they think that passes for southern accents. Yeah, you're great at that. Real Royal Shakespearean. Yeah, only thing left for you, honey, is a job on Fox News. Sorry. Maybe they could have a chorus line around the hemorrhoid with ears. All the girls who play with... He could have a chorus line eating Chinese food with chopsticks while he's reporting on the news. Oh, Lordy. I'm actually enjoying it because at a certain point when I'm under tremendous stress, as I am, I thought when I got older, things would be easier. I thought that in my golden years of radio, it would be a pleasure. I'd have fun. And I got hit out of nowhere. But instead of folding up and going away, I'm fighting back. I'm not leaving so fast, but I'm enjoying it, actually, in a certain way. I'm very good under stress. I'm terrible when there's no crises. I found that in my life many times. I cannot deal with domestic problems. I go berserk over crumbs on a table. I can't take old grapes in a refrigerator, you know. But give me an honest crisis like being banned in Britain, I can deal with it. I don't know what it is. Maybe I should have gone into politics. I should have done this, should have done that. But it's a corrupt system, and it corrupts the best people. You know, Mr. Smith goes to Washington. It's very hard to retain your integrity in politics. It's not that they're inherently bad. The system's bad. It corrupts you. We don't know this. There's a disturbing sound that I'm about to play for you of a general appealing to Army troops to stop committing suicide. I couldn't believe this. We got this from AP Video. And there's apparently a slew of suicides at Fort Campbell. And I don't understand why this is happening. Listen to the 26.
I know that I don't need to give this speech to 99% of you. But there's probably about a half a percent of you that have had thoughts of harming yourself. And there's probably another half a percent of you that know soldiers who have thought that. But it doesn't matter because we're all one team. And we're all in this together. So I'm going to give you the bottom line up front. If you don't remember anything else I say in the next 5 or 10 minutes, remember this. Suicidal behavior in the 101st and on Fort Campbell is bad. It's bad for soldiers. It's bad for families. Bad for your units. Bad for this division and our Army and our country, and it's got to stop now.
Now listen to the next one, because this is about the legendary Screaming Eagles. These are not ordinary recruits. Listen to the next.
Suicides on Fort Campbell have to stop now. This is not the reputation of the legendary Screaming Eagles of the 101st Airborne Division. Cool? No matter how bad your problem seems today, trust me, it is not the end of the world. It will be better tomorrow. Don't take away your tomorrow. Cool?
Now, why are there so many suicides going on in the military? Is there anyone listening to this show who really knows or thinks they know what the heck is going on? I have suspicions, which I'm not going to air at this time, I mean, that I could allege, but I haven't studied the problem sufficient to even make to propose a theory. I have some, you know, mild suspicions as to why there might be suicides going on there, but I don't really know why. Listen to 28 now.
You are accountable for yourself and for your teammates to the left and right. You can save your own life. You can also save your buddy's life. If you feel hopeless or suicidal, tell somebody. You wouldn't hesitate to seek medical attention for a physical injury or wound. Don't hesitate to seek medical attention for a psychological injury.
Now, I'll tell you what I think is going on. When you have a military that does not have a defined enemy because of political insanity, where they do not permit them to hate the enemy, the aggression incubate in the soldier turns on the soldier himself. He starts to doubt himself. Now, I am not a psychologist, but I could suspect that there are psychologists listening to the show who would agree with me. Listen to what I just said to you. We have a military that is not permitted to hate the enemy. In fact, there is no enemy. The enemy is global warming, according to the U.S. government. Can't hate the Islamo-fascist, can't hate the North Korean, can't hate anybody. So you're training a man to kill, you're training a man to jump out of an airplane, to do what? To kill. But he doesn't have an enemy. So where does this aggression go? Turns within onto him. Now, couple that with the large number of rotations in Iraq. Couple that with the rash of court-martials that Bush inflicted on the military and wouldn't step in for one of them. And you know that I gave money to defend Marines because I knew they were being unfairly picked on by the KGB inside the military. You see, we have the equivalent of the KGB operating in our military today. During the height of the Soviet Union, for example, on every submarine, on every ship, in every unit, there was a political officer as well as military officers. The political officer's job in a submarine was to listen for any anti-government chatter. So if a soldier said anything, oh, this, we're gone too long, he would be reported to the Home Office by the military officer aboard the ship. We have the equivalent of the KGB in the military today. They are called political officers, but they have other names. They also are the spies, in other words, spying on our own men and women, and consequently the men can't take it. You can't take an 18-year-old kid off a farm or out of the city who's a tough kid, maybe has been in trouble or whatever, and train him to kill, which he needs to learn how to do to be in the military. That's what it's all about. Remember, that's not a social agency. And then say, we have no enemy. And then say to him, if you actually say anything about who the enemy is, we're going to court-martial you, or we're going to bust you, we're going to downgrade you. So you say to me, well, I, you know, you don't know what the why they're committing suicide? I gave you a little start. Maybe the military doesn't know why there's a rash of suicides. Maybe they ought to listen to Michael Savage and look within their own organizational structure and what they're doing to these young men, and you'll see why they're committing suicide. And I'll also go a step further, because I have a wonderful mind and very good detective's instincts. Take a look at who the suicides, the clusters, start from the top. Amongst which ethnic group and which sex are the suicides occurring? Intuitively, white males. I'm sure you will find that the largest number of suicides at that fort are amongst white males. You say, well, why? Again, political pressure. That's my opinion. Now, if there's someone listening to this show, I'd like them to call and tell me what they think is responsible for all of this. I have another suspicion, which is that many of these kids are put on drugs, or they're coming in on antidepressants, which, as you well know, are associated with suicides. You know that, and I know that. It's being swept under the rug by the medical pharmaceutical profession, but we well know that Prozac-like drugs often, not always, but often, will result in either violent outbreaks or suicidal outbreaks. So those are some of the reasons. Ann Arbor, Michigan. Joe, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, one of the reasons these guys are so upset is, to add to the litany of what you just discussed, is they're worried about getting medical care if and when they get wounded. But
why? You mean they don't get medical care?
It's haphazard at best, and they got to fight for every bit of it, and it's not for life like it was for the Vietnam-era vets and World War II-era vets. They're screwing
up. Because you've got to preserve the precious health care dollars for the children of illegal aliens, Joe.
Oh, well, there are priorities, I guess.
That's right. Under Obama's new communist America, the United Soviet Socialist America, you've got to make certain that your priorities are straightened out, and health care for illegal alien children is more important than health care for returning veterans. You know that. Returning veterans are potential terrorists, while illegal alien children can never be a criminal.
You're right. I talked to a lot of vets over the Memorial Day weekend, and they're pumping those guys full of drugs, Michael.
What do you mean?
Antidepressants, anti-anxiety drugs, antipsychotics.
Oh, my God. My worst nightmare. You mean the minute a troop can't keep up with something, they tell them to take a drug?
No, they don't tell them. They make them. Virtually every vet over there is on some kind of drug. And you're talking about the white male being the biggest group. I'm sure they are, because what do? They teach them how to do certain things that the military's good at, and then they don't let them do it. So what do? They get them out in the field and turn them into metrosexuals.
No, don't go near that train passing by there, Joe.
Sorry, I lived too close to the tracks.
I don't know where you were. I was afraid you were coming up to a crossing, right?
Talking about suicide, right?
Yeah, I'm talking about suicide. I hear a train. Roar! Joe, are you near a crossing now, Joe? Can we talk this through?
Yes.
All right. As long as you're laughing, thanks for the call. No, it's drugs and political correctness, they call it. And the military is imploding. That's why we have suicide now. I'll be right back. Savage. I used to play that at the end of every show. But now I play it. I can't, because I can't play. The show starts different times, ends different times. Now, I want you to mark this down. Limbaugh called Sotomayor a racist. I did not. Gingrich called her a racist. I did not. Gingrich is a putz. God, how in the world can anyone think that that fraud, that vaudevillian could... You know, in my book, Political Zoo, I call them the go-pack tick. The guy is like a tick on the body politic. He's fit only for the Neil Cavuto show. Or maybe the hemorrhoid with the chopsticks could have him on. How could you think that Newt Gingrich could be a president? But I didn't call her a racist. Be very clear about it. I don't like the fact that she's a member of La Raza. I don't like what she said about white males not being equal to Latinas in their sensibilities. I didn't care for any of that. But mark down what I said today, because I'm the first person on the conservative side to understand what actually happened here. Of course she's a liberal. But she actually is probably the most moderate of the liberals that Obama could have picked. The others are nightmarish. Nightmarishly to the left. Now, how do I know I'm right? Well, you never know how a judge is going to go. But first of all, she's from the Bronx, which is good. I love they say from a childhood in the Bronx, with humble background to her nomination as a Supreme Court Justice, blah, blah, blah. Great. Well, I had a childhood in the Bronx, and I'm a top talk show host banned in England. How come that isn't a national story? Well, it is to you. But let's get back to Sotomayor. I'm glad the Bronx is in the news. Listen to this. The abortion racketeers are very upset with Sotomayor's pick, which means I'm right. Supreme Court pick may not be a reliable vote to uphold Roe v. Wade. That's right. The abortion racketeers are shocked that Judge Sotomayor may not be a reliable vote to uphold Roe v. Wade, and they're demanding a litmus test at the hearings, according to the abortion racketeers. In his briefing to reporters on Tuesday, the White House spokesman Robert Gibbs was asked whether Obama had asked Sotomayor about abortion or privacy rights. Gibbs said Mr. Obama did not ask that specifically. So I told you, she's a Catholic, she's Hispanic, she's a mother. You never know. Obama could have picked someone worse to the left, further to the left. Okay? He could have picked someone who's like an Emma Goldman. You don't know who that is. It's not your neighbor upstairs, not you, Mrs. Goldberg. Emma Goldman was deported in 1918 for violating the Anarchist Exclusion Act. Oh, if we only had that today. I don't know where they'd send them. But that would mean the whole Democrat Party would have to be deported. So listen to what I said. Mark down what I said, since you like to distort everything I say. I actually said that Sotomayor is moderately liberal compared to some of them. And the reason I say it is that, A, I've actually listened to her, I've looked at her. And no, I don't like the La Raza connection because I think La Raza is a brown supremacist group. I have said so for years, and I'm not going to alter my statement. It's not called a race. It's called the race. I don't like any group that's racially exclusive. How anyone could not see this is shocking. If he needs to pander to the Hispanic vote, we'll let him do it his own way. But he picked a rather moderate liberal, I think, even though she's overturned. She's a liberal, so it's one liberal being replaced by another. But she could have been far more to the left than Sotomayor. And today the abortion rights racketeers are very uneasy about Sotomayor, which means that perhaps she's a little more moderate than you fear. And that Rush Limbaugh made an idiot of himself again by calling her a racist. He did. You can't jump to a conclusion like that. Then you're equally guilty to the left calling everybody a racist. But I expect nothing more from the golfer at this point in his career. I'm just shocked that you don't see through him. And Gingrich, the go-pack tick, I mean, would you expect... I would have expected more from the go-pack tick. I mean, after all, he's a pure politician. He knows not to bandy about words that the left has specialized in for 30 years. You call your enemies names like racist? Newt, please, take a job in the local PTA. You'd be better off.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now,
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Here are some of the things we've been talking about in the Savage Nation. Sotomayor is a member of La Raza. Now, La Raza, for those of you who don't speak Spanish, means the race. Not all races, not one race, but the race. It was just disclosed that Sotomayor is a member of the racist group La Raza. By the way, they also want to separate themselves from the United States into a new America composed of Hispanics in the Southwest. Do you want a member of such an extremist group on the Supreme Court? Obama does. Do you think the Republicans will question Sotomayor about her background? Or will they go gently into that bad night and give her the rubber stamp that they're so famous for? The next topic is Pelosi and China. Pelosi fled to China to get away from her attacks on the CIA, which have backfired on her because she knew all about waterboarding. And that in China, she did not ask one question about human rights. Instead, she talked about the environment where she said, quote, every aspect of our lives must be subjected to inventory. Wow. So let's see. Pelosi hates the CIA. She loves the communist Chinese. She wants to impose a tyrannical green dictatorship on the U.S. Wow. Hey, how's that for progressive? We also talked about Pressmeister Gibbs, the spokesmouth for Obama. The evil white male. I mean, how come he's an evil white male? I don't understand that if they're so interested in people of diverse backgrounds, why is the Pressmeister Gibbs still a Pressmeister? Pressmeister Gibbs warned the press corps to be very careful in asking any question about Sonia Sotomayor. As you well know, enemies of the truth, enemies of America, enemies of your freedom and my freedom, have taken statements I have made, cut them up, taken them out of context, sent them to the Home Secretary in the United Kingdom and tried to crucify me with them. And yet, just the other day, Obama's spokesmouth, Robert Gibbs, said something that I found to be very interesting. Listen to clip 11.
I just want to know, do you believe that in judging 8 seconds or 6 seconds of what somebody says in a 40-minute clip, you fully understood and taken into account the full context of what she said?
You have to look at
is
the context.
Is that spin? That if you look at the context and then listen to the words, you, your listeners, and everyone that you talk to will have a greater and fuller appreciation for exactly what she said.
You're right, Robert Gibbs. In the case of Sotomayor, if you listen to the full context, it's even more to the left than what she said. But in my case, I'm more moderate than I've been presented by the enemies of the truth. But Gibbs does have a point there. It's very interesting to me that he would appoint somebody who was so racially divisive as Sotomayor. Nothing wrong with a Latino who believes in the law, particularly that justice is blind. This woman says justice is not blind. She says, I'm going to blind you with my justice. That's right. She said, I'm going to blind you with my brand of justice. She's going to take the, what do you call it, over someone's eyes? I don't even know what you call it anymore. I haven't played Cowboys and Indians. Blindfold. Sotomayor wants to take the blindfold off Lady Justice and charge up those marble steps. We don't need an activist judge on the Supreme Court, do we? That's another big issue. But I'll tell you the truth, at this stage of my life and career, I expect the worst from Obama, and I'm getting it. I expected the worst, and I'm getting even worse. And that's why, for a minute or two, I'd like to reflect on a dog named Freddy with three legs. As you know, I have a dog named Teddy with four legs. He's a little spunky four-pound poodle. I mean, five-year-old poodle, weighs about 10 pounds. And on my walks with him, I have a neighbor who has a dog with three legs named Freddy. So when Teddy meets Freddy, they're both males. They circle each other, but it's kind of an unfair circling because although Freddy has three legs, he's very tough. He doesn't know he only has three legs. And I said to the elderly woman, how did he lose his leg? She said, I don't know. He was a rescue dog. And I think what I heard was he injured it and the people didn't have the money, so they cut the leg off. I said, oh, God. I said, I'll bet that one leg he has in the front is really strong. She said, it must be. He puts it in front of him in the middle like it's a tricycle wheel. And I said, you know, I should tell my audience about Freddie and Teddy today. I don't know what the moral of the story is, and I just thought you should know that there's a little dog named Freddie near me with three legs. I have no idea why I wanted to tell you that story. It was cute. There's no moral. I mean, I can make some kind of moral story out of a three-legged dog that still has the guts to go on and didn't need the dog government to save him, didn't need dog health care to save him. I mean, what do you want me to do, make a story out of it? The story is unto itself. The dog has three legs, and he does fine. He didn't go to the government for help. Gets around just fine. Hey, talk about health care reform. I have a question for you, since I know many people grift the system and have bankrupted it. I mean, I know people who are poor who go to two or three doctors a day, maybe 20 doctors a month for free because it's free. And they have nothing to do with their lives, so they invent illnesses. They go to doctors because it's all free, and it's called, I think I defined it in a book I wrote in the 80s as medical recreation, or recreational medicine, I called it. Now, America right now is filled with millions of people who are genuinely ill and tens of millions of people who are using the medical system for recreation. They enjoy going to that nice young man, that nice young woman, and who sits and listens to their every quirk and whim and creak and groan, and they get it for free. So let's have some health care reform. What if you charged people $25 for every medical visit? What's wrong with that? Well, you say some people don't have it. So charge them $10 a visit. They have the price of a drink in a bar, don't they? They have the price of a carton of cigarettes, don't they? They buy cigarettes. They buy a drink. Why not charge them $25 a visit? That would immediately cut out the recreational medicine. It would also limit our health care costs and might even pay for the health care that they're grifting right now. Just a thought. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Sotomayor and La Raza. Within 48 hours of my reportage on the Savage Nation that Sonia Sotomayor had made the most racist remarks imaginable against white males, it's now been revealed that she is a member of the National Council of La Raza. Now, I've talked to you about this extreme group before. Let me tell you why it's imperative that we don't have a Supreme Court justice who belongs to this extremist group. Number one, La Raza means the race, okay? The race. Not all races, not a race, but the race. La Raza opposes controlling the border with Mexico. Three, former president of La Raza said the following about a citizens' action group, U.S. English, which is dedicated to preserving the unifying role of the English language in the United States. Quote, U.S. English is to Hispanics as the Ku Klux Klan is to blacks, close quote. So in other words, our language itself is an affront to him. La Raza has also advised the Mexican government on how to lobby for illegal alien amnesty while avoiding the terms illegal and amnesty. Four, La Raza is in favor of the Fairness Doctrine policies to close down talk radio. Five, La Raza supports ethnic, militant, nationalist charter schools, including Academy in Nogales, Arizona, the Aztlan Academy in Tucson, Arizona, and Academia Cesar Chavez Charter School in St. Paul, Minnesota. Is this the kind of empathy that Chairman O is looking for? Is this the kind of wise Latina that Sotomayor claims to be? If George W. Bush had nominated a member of the Ku Klux Klan to the Supreme Court, what do you think the reaction would be? We must root out hatred, not reward hatred. Sonia Sotomayor does not deserve to be on the Supreme Court. She deserves to be on La Raza's court. North Korea actions are troubling. Not only are we watching the situation closely, but Israel is monitoring the situation very closely. Because what happens with North Korea will probably show Iran just how far they can go in developing a nuclear weapon. Joining us with a new report on this is author of the new book, The Late Great State of Israel, Aaron Klein.
Thanks, Michael. Here in Jerusalem, I can tell you that there is major concern over the events of the last few days. It seems like the winds of war are blowing in the Middle East and around the world. You have North Korea detonating a nuclear bomb underground, and then a day later reportedly testing two short-range missiles defying the international community. And the response so far has been a call for sanctions that haven't worked in the past. And then you have Iran sending apparently six warships to international waters, to the Gulf of Aden. I'll talk about that in a minute. And also Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran, ruling out atomic talks over its nuclear arsenal with any agency outside of the International Atomic Energy Agency. And all of these events come just after a meeting about a week and a half ago between President Obama and the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, where Obama made very clear in his public statements that he essentially won't do much to stop Iran from going nuclear. He said that in June, the United States, Obama, will start the talks with Iran, and that maybe by January, he might have an indication of whether these talks are working or not. And Israel is warning that by January, it could be too late. That by January, or a few months before or after, we don't know. Iran is working very quickly. But according to Israel, in just a few months, Iran might have enough uranium where if it's enriched just a little bit more, it can produce one or two or more nuclear weapons. And I can tell you that Iran is obviously paying very close attention to the model of North Korea, where under Bill Clinton, we had the same policy that Obama now wants toward Iran. Clinton engaged in talks and dialogue with the North Koreans. He sent his Secretary of State, Madeleine Albright, over to North Korea, where she was paraded in front of a major stadium and then conducted talks. And we see now that North Korea used those talks, used the diplomacy as a smokescreen to build nuclear weapons. And now, in defiance of the Non-Proliferation Treaty, in defiance of the international community and all agreements that it signed, North Korea is a full-fledged member of the nuclear community. And Iran clearly is seeming to go the same route, believing that talks, that dialogue, will bring about their nuclear capabilities. And when Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran, says, and I want to quote him here, he said, quote, "The nuclear issue is over for us. The talks outside of the IAEA, that's the International Atomic Energy Agency, will only be about participation in the management of the world and bringing peace to the world."
But the IAEA has been largely ineffective in doing anything.
Ahmadinejad has to know, as most observers would, that the IAEA is an international laughingstock. They've done nothing in North Korea. The IAEA didn't even notice that Syria, with the help of North Korea, was about to build a nuclear arsenal, and it took Israel to carry out a very daring military raid in September of 2007 to stop that. The IAEA is not really doing much in Iran. Their inspectors are not allowed into certain facilities. Other facilities, they are. And so Iran, North Korea, have both made very clear that their response to Obama's diplomacy is onward with their nuclear arsenal. And Iran now, by the way, sending six warships to international waters. They're sending it to the Gulf of Aden to show its ability to, quote, confront any foreign threats, end quote. Now, what is seen in Jerusalem here with these six warships is that Iran is seeming to anticipate the possibility of an Israeli military strike against their nuclear facilities. And if they do, Iran, of course, will have the ability to retaliate in all sorts of ways. Like in my new book, In the Late Great State of Israel, I highlighted how Iran has proxies that surround the Jewish state in the Gaza Strip with Hamas, Hezbollah to the north, Syria to the north. But beside that, and aside from the retaliation that Iran can take against Israel, they can also strike American military targets in the Middle East. And one of the main threats they have is to close down the Gulf of Aden and also the Straits of Hormuz, which is where actually about 40% of the world's oil that comes to the United States, that comes to Europe, it's shipped through these areas. And if Iran were to try to shut down the Straits or shut down the Gulf of Aden, it would precipitate a major confrontation, and it could certainly send the oil markets crashing. And so now you have, this brings us to Bibi Netanyahu, the new prime minister in Israel, newly installed, just went to the United States for a meeting. And clearly Bibi has major decisions to make, because you have on the one hand, the White House saying that they're going to begin the talks in June and that maybe by January they might have an indication of where they're going. And then Bibi and the Israeli intelligence community understands that by January it might be a little bit too late. And so he is going to have to make a determination of whether to give Obama time and how much time he should give, or whether to act against Iran, even during talks with Obama. And we already see clashes between Israel and the Obama administration. And we have the first clash between the White House and Israel, it seems, on an issue of what's known as natural growth in the West Bank.
Well, what is that about?
And what this is referring to are Jewish communities that were built in the West Bank, which is strategic territory. It borders Jerusalem. The West Bank is within rocket firing range of Tel Aviv and of Israel's international airport. Now, in the past, the Bush administration allowed and actually had a very quiet deal with Israel where they would allow for the natural growth of Jewish communities, which basically means that you have Jews who live in the West Bank in communities there, and they have children, they have grandchildren, they need to build apartments, they need to build new homes. And the United States didn't oppose, under the Bush administration, the building of new homes. But Obama seems to fervently oppose it. Actually, his Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, said that there should be no construction in the West Bank of any kind, including natural growth. So Israel's now worried overall that if Obama's not going to allow what's known as natural growth for the Jewish communities of the West Bank, then Obama might not honor a 2004 letter from the Bush administration that said that Israel would not need to evacuate the entire West Bank. And again, if you take out your maps here, real estate is key. The West Bank is strategic land that is within rocket firing range of Israel's central population centers. And so Obama, dealing with threats from Iran, dealing with threats from North Korea, other threats from the Middle East, seems to be putting the onus on Israel, as if Israel's Jewish communities in the West Bank are the obstacle to peace, even when the Arabs attacked Israel long before the Jewish state ever retained the West Bank, ever retained Eastern Jerusalem. Just listen to the rhetoric coming from Hamas and coming from the peace partner Fatah. They talk about the destruction of Israel, not the destruction of Jewish communities in the West Bank. So we're going to continue to follow these issues and more very closely on The Savage Nation. For now, this is Aaron Klein with another exclusive update for The Savage Nation.
Thanks for the update, Aaron.
Michael, thank you very much.
This is The Savage Nation. I'll be back.
Savage.
Here's what's on michaelsavage.com. Is the Obama administration closing only the Chrysler dealers who gave to the Republicans? Well, evidence appears to be mounting that the very fair Obama administration has systematically targeted Chrysler dealers who contributed only to Republicans. That's what I love about Democrats, is the lack of hypocrisy, the fairness. Toledo police layoffs are leading to gun buying. The layoffs mean big business, as people are taking safety into their own hands. Narco-terrorists pose security risks for D.C. jails. The concerns foreshadow problems the Obama administration might face if it brings Guantanamo Bay detainees to the United States for trial. U.S. sales tax gets a fresh look from the communists in the Obama administration. That's right. While Obama is pushing a Marxist trillion-dollar-plus expansion of health care coverage like Castro, some left-wing policymakers in Washington are taking a fresh look at a VAT that's a tax upon a tax upon a tax. Wow, that's really new. That's what you call really, really building something great in America. Also on MichaelSavage.com, a tiger killed a zookeeper as tourists watch. That's right. That's out of New Zealand. Former NYPD Commissioner Carrick has been indicted. That's a bigger story about Giuliani than about Carrick. On MichaelSavage.com, you must read my defamation complaint against the United Kingdom, because the allegations in their press release constitute serious and damaging allegations which are actionable under English law and a violation of European Union law, by the way. Read it. Also on the website, FBI tape shows Burris foresaw a firestorm. Now, what that means, I don't know, other than he's a grifter. Also on the website, We see that North Korea is not our problem, but according to Forbes magazine, China is our problem. He says, if it weren't for the Chinese, there would be no North Korean missile program, no North Korean nuclear program. Of course not. We've talked about Nancy Pelosi backtracking and lying about the CIA and what she was or was not told about waterboarding, so-called torture. Cliff Kincaid from Accuracy in Media has written an article on this, and he joins us now on the Savage Nation.
Michael, thanks again for having me on the show. Pelosi, the House Speaker, has been in the news, but what I try to do is look into her background. You know, a lot of people seemingly were shocked by her statements that the CIA had lied to her about the treatment of terrorists. And now, of course, she doesn't want to talk about it anymore, realizing that she's gotten herself into trouble. I wonder what caused this kind of outburst. Does she have some kind of knee-jerk hatred for those agencies charged with defending America, like the CIA, which admittedly was pretty tough on some of these terrorists? What else is going on here to explain Pelosi's very unusual and strange comments about the CIA, and now, of course, her attempt with the help of the media to keep from talking about it? Well, needless to say, everybody should know Nancy Pelosi is the, not a, but the San Francisco Democrat. She has represented San Francisco, probably the most liberal city in the nation, since 1987. And that in and of itself is an indictment, of course, but what I did, and I recently traveled out to San Francisco and the Oakland, California areas, did some investigative reporting on the scene and the various matters, but I tried to take a look into the kinds of people, groups, and so forth that form the basis for Nancy Pelosi's constituency. And it's a very similar group to that which backs Representative Barbara Lee of the Oakland-Berkeley area, who's probably a little bit more radical than Nancy Pelosi. Barbara Lee, basically a champion of Fidel Castro, but a very, very close friend to Nancy Pelosi. They're not only neighbors in terms of representing neighboring jurisdictions, but they're very close friends.
What is Pelosi's connection with Vivian Hallinan?
Somebody had told me a while back that Nancy Pelosi had a very close personal relationship with a woman named Vivian Hallinan. And sure enough, I dug up some basic news reports about this, in which Nancy Pelosi talked about Vivian Hallinan being a mentor and a very close friend. She passed away back in 1999. But I found some references in the subcommittee volumes to Vivian Hallinan and her husband, who also passed away. I think he passed away back in 1992, a man named Vincent Hallinan, because both of these people have been, of course, in the words of Nancy Pelosi, very involved over the course of decades in the so-called progressive politics. But to translate into common language, progressive means pro-Marxist, pro-communist. And this is what got my attention, because not only is Nancy Pelosi a very close friend of Barbara Lee, the congresswoman from Oakland and Berkeley, but she was a very close friend, in fact calling her a mentor, to Vivian Hallinan.
Well, wasn't her husband even more radical than she was?
Her husband, this Vincent Hallinan, was even more radical than that. He helped start the National Lawyers Guild in San Francisco, and the National Lawyers Guild, of course, was officially designated a Communist Party front organization. And I found in one of these Senate subcommittee volumes out of California that Vincent and his wife had gone to the old Soviet Union after American U-2 spy pilot Francis Gary Powers had been shot down. If you remember that case, The U-2 had been shot down. Powers had been captured and put on trial in a communist show trial. Hallinan and his wife had gone over there to vouch for the legitimacy of the Soviet system. They had come back and written accounts of this, which, according to the subcommittee report, were bestsellers at communist bookstores in San Francisco and Oakland. Well, this is really, Michael, just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the involvement of the Hallinans and some of their sons, by the way, in Marxist activities out there in San Francisco over the course of many, many years, in fact, decades.
You know, the left is just going to ask, why is this relevant?
And so I think all of this is relevant for several reasons, possibly to explain what Nancy Pelosi's real ideology actually is in terms of how she could come out with this outburst against the CIA. And also because, let's face it, when it comes to Pelosi or Senate or House leaders or the President of the United States, Obama himself, none of these people have to go through any kinds of background investigations in order to get to where they are today. And this, as I point out in my article at AIM.org, is a loophole in our current system that elected officials, including even the President of the United States, can get into that kind of position with automatic access to classified information, our most highly sensitive national security secrets, even though nobody has to take a look at their background to check their associations or connections that could prove troubling in the area of security and threats to our survival. When it comes to the national security of the United States and the role of the CIA, we deserve some answers, not a no comment from the House Speaker.
Thanks for looking into this, Cliff.
Michael, thanks again for having me on.
This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Savage.
In the wake of Korea conducting a nuclear test and launching several short-range missiles in the last several days, the madman Kim Jong-il has said that he will no longer abide by the 1953 armistice that ended the Korean War. Under that agreement, both sides agreed to a complete cessation of all hostilities. They pledged to accept a demilitarized zone that separated North and South Korea. Now, presumably, they're preparing for direct aggression against South Korea. We know that they're capable of launching nuclear weapons. They have a huge and fanatical conventional military, and they have artillery and missiles that are capable of striking Seoul, the capital of South Korea. On top of all this, they have restarted a nuclear power plant that's capable of making the nuclear material for more of the nukes that they have tested. America lost tens of thousands of men in the Korean War in the 50s. Do you think we're prepared to fight another one? Neither Clinton nor Bush nor Obama so far has been willing to take out their nuclear sites with missiles. Through a combination of cowardice and stupidity and kowtowing to China, three successive U.S. presidents have allowed North Korea to grow out of control. They started with what was a rogue nation and let it metastasize into a problem that is now destabilizing the entire world. So here's the question. President Obama, would you rather see thousands of American troops dead in another Korean War, or are you willing to take action now before it's too late to avoid an international calamity? Will you take out their missiles, take out their nukes, take out their launch pads, take out their power plants? It's the moral choice to consider this in order to avoid the deaths of tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, or perhaps millions, as a result of a nuclear war begun by North Korea. North Korea seems to be thumbing their nose at Obama's better diplomacy. Apparently they didn't get the memo that says Obama is going to lead the world into a new golden age of peace and harmony for all. It seems that maybe North Korea may have an agenda of its own, and we need to change our tactics to meet the growing threat. Joining us now is the former chief of the CIA's Korea branch, Bruce Klinger, now with the Heritage Foundation.
Thank you very much, Michael. North Korea's nuclear test is but the latest in a series of provocations since January. As a matter of fact, North Korea announced that it no longer feels bound by the armistice, which stopped the Korean War. And also it announced that South Korea's joining the Proliferation Security Initiative is a declaration of war against North Korea. So obviously tensions remain high on the Korean Peninsula, and any number of additional provocations are expected. But the test is also important is that the eagerness to conduct that test so quickly after its long-range missile launch in April shows that Pyongyang has abandoned the facade of negotiations and is now no longer interested in diplomatic entreaties. The rapid pace of the provocations indicates its intent on achieving a viable nuclear weapon and an ICBM delivery capability, as well as a recognition as a nuclear weapon state. The longstanding goal of North Korea to develop the means to threaten the U.S. and its allies with nuclear weapons, as well as the very clear lack of the ability of the international community to use diplomatic pressure to stop North Korea's provocations, clearly shows the critical need for America to develop and deploy a missile defense system.
How significant is this change in tactics coming out of North Korea?
This change in tactics, actually change in strategy by North Korea, is significant. In the past, when they would do a provocation, there would be a long lead time to a provocation because North Korea was really using it as negotiating leverage. They were hoping to be bought back from the edge. They were hoping to induce the U.S. or its allies to offer additional economic benefits or some kind of negotiating concession. But now what we've had is these rapid-fire series of provocations with no time allowed for diplomatic outreach. So clearly, Pyongyang is now more focused on realizing these strategic technological achievements rather than gaining a tactical negotiating leverage as it was in the past. Now, this change in tactics, change in strategy by North Korea may have been triggered by North Korea's leaders, Kim Jong-il's health crisis. Back in August of 2008, he had one, perhaps two strokes, and he may be motivated now by an increased sense of his own mortality. He may try to achieve these nuclear objectives, not only the technological capability, but the recognition as a nuclear state prior to his own death or the formal transfer of power to his successor. You know, to use a poker analogy, rather than incrementally raising the ante as Kim Jong-il did in the past, he's now willing to do a high-risk move by going all in order to force an international acceptance of North Korea as a nuclear weapons state. Now, you know, if we look back on the beginning of 2009, there were these unrealistically high expectations that with the change in U.S. leadership, 2009 was going to be the breakthrough year. We're going to achieve great success in North Korean denuclearization. And that's clearly not the case. What we've seen is Pyongyang has refused repeated attempts by the Obama administration to engage in dialogue, and North Korea has also rejected outreach from South Korea and Japan. And this is even at a time when North Korean economic conditions are worsening. In fact, Pyongyang has rejected humanitarian assistance from both South Korea and the U.S.
Well, what do you think is likely to happen?
I'm a lot more concerned about where this may go than I have been in a number of years. And I've been covering North Korea since 1993 when I was at CIA. We can expect additional missile and nuclear activity during 2009. And North Korea is going to be impervious to some of the I think, more naive suggestions coming out from analysts right now. If only we send a more senior-level presidential envoy, we can break this impasse, or if we offer some other combination of economic benefits. So what we need to do really is a more integrated, comprehensive strategy. The first 6 years of the Bush administration, the all-sticks policy didn't work. The last 2 years of the all-carrots policy didn't work. So what we need is a two-track policy. One is punitive measures, and the other is the holding open the door for negotiations. The punitive measures themselves are a three-part. One is going through the UN Security Council, seeing what we can get, although China is going to continue to be obstructionist. And because of that, the U.S. needs to lead a separate, a parallel, multilateral effort to identify and target not only the North Korean companies and government agencies involved in proliferation and illegal activities, but also the other end of the pipeline, the foreign companies, the foreign countries that are complicit in illegal activities and violating the UN resolutions. And then on the other hand, in order we do that to try to force North Korea back to the table. We try to force them to change their negotiating approach and try to get them to continue the denuclearization. Now, with North Korea, there's no guarantee of success. So even as we're trying this two-track policy, what we need to do is that the U.S. and its allies even now need to quietly be already planning contingency plans for what do we do if we all collectively conclude that the six-party talks or any combination of nuclear negotiations don't work. Because then we're going to be faced with some very difficult decisions. You know, one extreme option is, you know, formally accepting them as a nuclear nation, and that's not good. It's going to send a very dangerous signal not only to North Korea but also to Iran, other rogue nations, and it's also going to cause great concern by our allies in Asia. The other extreme option is military action, and that's not going to be good as well, because any kind of action is likely going to trigger a confrontation and a conventional war even perhaps between the Koreas. And then there's hopefully some option in between there. But it's going to be a very difficult, a very bumpy and white-knuckled ride ahead for all of us in 2009.
Bruce Klinger, thanks for the update and thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Thanks very much for having me, Michael. I appreciate it.
Well, something I talked about recently was the racist comments of Sotomayor, you know. So what are you say about it? But compared to the others on the short list, I said she's rather conservative when you think of it. You should see someone, oh, my God. I don't know their names. I saw a couple of them talk on C-SPAN over the weekend. One of them was a beast of a woman. I don't even know. I don't want to know her name. I don't want to know her name. A monster. A monster. I just can't imagine if that one wound up on the Supreme Court. So you got to thank your lucky stars. You know what I'm saying? Sure, she's a leftist. What'd you expect them to put a conservative in? You know, everyone's so excited. Oh, he picked a left winger to replace a left winger. My God! Souter's retiring a radical leftist and he's replacing him with a centrist. So he picks another radical leftist. You know, in the mold of... I can't even pick a mold. There's no direct mold that she came from. Maybe Ruth Bader Ginsburg from the ACLU would be in the mold. She's a little more radical than her, but they're all about the same. But compared to some of the others on the short list, which included Janet Napolitano, you got to thank you count your blessings. Could have been worse. He could have picked a baker from Berkeley.
Savage.